Welcome to the Space Show, Peter.
Well, thank you very much. It's an exciting meeting here.
Well, perhaps if we could move from the area of icy worlds into one where no ice could possibly exist. Well, we wouldn't expect it to anyway. And that's the planet Mercury, which orbits fairly close to the Sun. The European Space Agency has plans to go there, I believe.
Yes, this is a plan, but we are now getting into the region which was somewhat more uncertain. This mission is not approved. Mercury, curiously enough, the innermost planet, is almost terra incognita. The only thing we know besides observation from ground, which are very difficult to make because Mercury is so close to the Sun all the time, comes from three flybys that the American Mariner 10 mission did in 1974 and 1975. We know the surface looks, first glance, very close to the Moon, with pock-marked surfaces, craters from impacts, but it's also very curious. It has a strong magnetic field, second largest of the terrestrial planets besides the Earth. But we don't understand why. Its density is considerably higher than you would expect for a planet of this size. So there's a fair number of open questions. From a technology point of view, it's very challenging. Mercury is, as I said, close to the Sun. Sunny side is very hot. The other side is then considerably colder. It requires a lot of energy to get there, therefore solar electric propulsion would be ideal. Then you're also flexible in terms of when you launch and how you get there. You get there faster. It's very challenging, and we hope that maybe by the year 2010 such an mission to Mercury, which would involve probably more than one orbiter, could be flown.
Superficially, Mercury looks very much like the Moon, but it appears it is quite different in detail, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's believed that it has a core of iron-nickel type. That, from the history of forming the planet, should be fixed. But then around it, maybe the question is there a molten region around it? This is what the people studying magnetism would predict. And there are also quite different regions on Mercury which look quite different.
Continuing conversation with Peter Wenzel. We're at Mercury, and we're in orbit around Mercury, and we've got a spacecraft. What sort of instruments will we have on board?
Yeah, we're in the early stage of studying that. So the current concept is that we would go there with solar electric propulsion, so that needs a relatively heavy spacecraft with the propellant, probably be xenon and large solar rays. But then in order to get into orbit, we would get rid of that part and then have one spacecraft which orbits the Mercury very closely. This would carry cameras and other remote sensing instruments to study the surface and its composition, just like that, and a much smaller spacecraft going in a highly eccentric orbit to study the magnetic field and the various plasma phenomena that you have in this region, and then relay these data to the main spacecraft, the planetary orbiter, and then back to the cruiser and back to Earth. So
of course, being so close to the Sun, thermal shielding will be a problem, won't it? Stopping the thing getting cooked.
Yes, that is one of the technological challenges. To a spacecraft that does not get cooked, but European industry has already demonstrated in the 70s with the Helios mission that went to 0.4 4 astronomical units or sun, or even a little bit closer, that one can cater with the system by clever design, and in the next millennium that will be solvable.
Well, given an unlimited budget, which you haven't got and won't get, what would be your wish list for, say, the period after the one we've just been talking about?
Well, the science is advancing, and what you learn from one mission also opens up new questions. That is of the nature of science, so it is very difficult to predict. At this moment, my wish would be that we are also coming more, somewhat more, with a smaller mission, and then target mission to specific scientific questions. One of my favorites would be to even a mission into a territory that is totally unknown, and that's the region very closely around the sun, going to something like 4 solar radii. That is a region where the solar wind, the plasma stream that expands from the solar atmosphere and fills all of the solar system, is really originating. And this would be scientifically very, very exciting and technologically extremely challenging, even more than Mercury. This we've been working at this, and I personally was involved for some time. I would hope that still in my lifetime a mission like that would materialize.
Of course, the solar environment greatly affects the Earth, doesn't it? So this has direct relevance back to us here on Earth.
Yes, this is absolutely right. The sun, the central star, the life provider, for energy provider for all what we do, what how we exist, and therefore it is very important to fully understand that star, because without the sun we wouldn't be here, and life would not exist. In that, but ESA is has embarked on a major solar mission, the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, that is in orbit right now, has made for more than 2 years fantastic observations, not only of the dynamic solar atmosphere, but also studied about the solar interior. The technique called helioseismology, so an analogy to seismology on Earth, where you learn through the propagation of waves from earthquakes or artificial waves what where oil is underground, or what the composition of a certain region is. So we are learning about the interior of the sun with the SOHO mission. SOHO recently made the headline by an unfortunate interruption of communication with the spacecraft in end of June, but I'm happy to say that last week this has the communication has been re-established and the spacecraft reoriented towards the sun, and I'm quite hopeful that in the next few weeks we also switch on the scientific payload and can then continue these beautiful observations through a few more years, leading us from a period of a relatively quiet sun, solar minimum, like we had it in the last 2 years, to a more dynamic phase at the beginning of the next millennium, the solar maximum. And there we study also phenomena, how they erupt at the sun and then propagate through interplanetary space impacting the Earth, so-called coronal mass ejection events, and then leading to effects and disturbances of the Earth's environment, like telecommunication blackouts, or even in some dramatic cases, cutoff of power lines and features or effects like killing spacecraft in near Earth orbit. This is a very exciting area of solar terrestrial relations or space weather.
People can actually, well, they can't at the moment, of course, because SOHO is not working properly at the moment, but they can download live almost pictures of the sun, can't they, taken by the spacecraft?
Yes, the SOHO mission has been and hopefully will soon be again operated like a telescope or an observatory on top of the mountain. Only the telescope now stands 1.5 million kilometers away from the Earth in the direction of the sun. So people sit there after behind their computer screens and terminals and look at the image of the sun and get also observations from ground telescope and then decide which part of the sun to study next in the next half hour or the next day, setting up coordinated programs. That works like in an astronomical telescope, and I have had the fortune to be there a few times myself. It is very exciting to study this central star of our solar system, which is not quiet and silent, has a lot of dynamic effects in its inner and outer atmosphere, which, as I said earlier, at times affects directly our Earth environment.
I know it's very exciting to be able to go on the internet and download these pictures, then go outside and look towards the sun and realize that, well, the spacecraft that took this picture I've just been looking at is just out there, 1.5 million kilometers, almost directly towards the sun.
Yes, SOHO orbits around nothing, as one would say, about an imaginary point in which the gravity force between the sun and the Earth balance. So you can sit there relatively without much propulsion needs, and it's kept in an orbit around this point. So it sees the sun 24 hours a day. It is always in the same the same temperature. So the measurements are very, very stable, and it is quite easy to communicate with this spacecraft. So this is a fantastic place to study these phenomena of the interior of the sun and the outer atmosphere continuously. Particular for the interior of the sun, this is very important because you need long records, uninterrupted records of data to analyze these and then get the fantastic results of and what we find out about currents flowing and the mechanism that feeds the energy that then gives allows life on Earth.
Well, thank you, Peter, for joining us on the Space Show. You've certainly given us a very detailed insight into the European Space Agency programs.
Yes, I mean, we are very proud to do this work. The European Space Agency is a organization composed of 14 member states, and it is really exciting to work with all these colleagues from the different nations and speaking the different languages in Europe, and have so many contacts with scientists and engineers all around the world.